Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, the NBA gave us a couple of beauties last night, but there's a couple people not too happy with the officials. Lighten up. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. I'm Chris Carlin. He is Joe Fortenbaugh. Good afternoon, Yosef. How goes the battle?
That should work. That's right. Yep. Lighten up, everybody. Lighten up. It's just officiating. Lighten up. Move on. You know, it's not about your legacy or anything like that. Just lighten up.
I tried to just reject the premise right from the get-go. And honestly, I cannot get over how much is being made of this, because there were winning plays made all over the basketball court last night by the two teams that won the game.
Great games.
Absolutely.
Great games. Also, Cleveland beat the Magic, which I'm going to get that in now because I don't think that's going to make it the rest of the way.
Did they play?
They did play. The Magic still don't know how to score, which is something you might want to work on this offseason, but neither here nor there. Congratulations.
Was that the game on True TV?
No. The one where, like, right when March Madness starts, everyone's like, where the hell is the Vanderbilt game?
Is that the hidden game at 5 p.m. right. on a Thursday?
The secret menu at In-N-Out Burger.
It is Carlin versus... No, because I know what that is. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. Listen, let's start with the Lakers last night. I get it. You're frustrated, but, you know, I can't lose my mind over a call at the end of the third quarter about what are we doing. The officials are just terrible, and LeBron losing his mind and walking out of a press conference because of what's happening at the replay center. I get it. It's frustrating, but you know what else is frustrating? When you have a wide open three, and I mean wide open. I mean, nobody in the zip code, Joseph, last night of LeBron with 16 seconds left, and he missed the shot. To me, that's where you forfeit any and all rights you have as far as complaining about the officials.
Yeah, listen, the officiating thing, a good rule of thumb, it's not about what happens to you, it's about how you respond to it.
Yep.
And that's all walks of life. We're not just talking about sports here. It's not about what happens to you, because you can't control so much of that takes place on a day-to-day. But how do you respond? Do you lose your mind? Do you stay calm? How do you respond to the challenges that are thrown at you? Obviously, this is a very intense, very pressure-filled, very stressful environment that they're playing in last night. LeBron's the ultimate competitor. You lose that game, that call goes against you. Naturally, there's going to be some sort of reaction. He's human. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But ultimately, this is what happens when you're going against the very best there is to offer. There are very small margins for error. If you are going to take out the best team in the business, the absolute best in the business, you just can't make mistakes. And I know that sounds obvious, but they had him last night. Mm-hmm. Denver shot 23% from deep, 77th out of 84 games they played this year. They shot 44% from the field. That ranks 66th of 84 games they played this year. They scored 101 points. That's 72nd out of 84 games this season. They weren't good. They were not good, but because they're an elite squad, big picture, they found a way to win. The Lakers opened the door, and the Nuggets ran through it. That's all there is to it. You can't make mistakes when you have the small margins. And it's unfortunate if you're LeBron and the Lakers. You can blame whatever you want. The other team's just that damn good.
Yeah, they are. And you know what that team did? It responded after some adversity of falling in a 20-point hole. To your point earlier, it's about how you respond. And that's what they do, and they never looked fazed by anything. If you missed LeBron complaining after the game, here it is.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that shit is like... And then I just saw what happened with the... Sixers Knicks game too. What are we doing?
Listen, he wasn't the only one. I mean, at the end of the game, you also had Darvin Ham not thrilled about it. You had Anthony Davis in a spot where he's just asked about the last sequence. He's frustrated, and he makes it pretty quick of an answer.
Can you take us through that last play, just what happened and what unfolded? What was, I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Hey, that sound was him dropping the mic and walking out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jamal Murray made a shot. Joe, you talked about how important Jamal Murray was going to be, and Anthony Davis's outstretched arm right in his face didn't matter on a step back play that he just, I mean, to your point about looking as comfortable as possible in that spot, you have them get the rebound. Jokic is waving off Michael Malone, calling the timeout. Hey, we got it. We got it. And Murray comes down the floor and makes a big shot.
It's that championship medal. Yep. They've been there. The moment wasn't too big for them. They understood the situation. They were prepped. They were prepared. They had put in the work. They knew it was just about executing. You hear boxers and fighters talk about this all the time going into a fight. The work is done. Like, they've already put in the work. The work's done. Now you just got to go out and execute. And that's exactly what the Nuggets did. Murray, by the way, you can put this on the board. I think he's going to have a 50-burger at some point in the postseason. He looks great. He's not his shots are not falling right now. Mm-hmm. I know people will say that sounds crazy. He hit the game winner. He's not shooting particularly well yet. But there is going to be a game at some point this postseason where his shots fall and he's going to drop 50. I'm confident in 40. I'll go out on the limb and say 50.
We've seen those before.
Yeah, this is who he is. He's a big game performer. He raises his game as the stakes go up. To LeBron's point on officiating, it's tough for me to get upset about the officiating and to side with them when through two games and you're the road team and they're the defending champ, you've outshot them 32-19 from the free throw line. You've had 13 more free throws through two games. So it's kind of hard to say the officiating's working against you when I have those numbers. But I'll ask you this. Do you think part of this is that gamesmanship we see in playoff series, especially in hockey? Hockey's notorious for this, where coming off a loss, a coach generally gets in front of the microphone and he takes the $10,000 or $25,000 fine, whatever it is, by bashing the officials, knowing that it's going to influence them the next game out. Oh. I wonder if part of this between Darvin Ham and LeBron James is about sending a message to the officials to get them on their side for game three.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that that was certainly part of it. I think there was true frustration over what happened. But you're 100% right when you present those kind of numbers, especially when we're talking about the Denver Nuggets at home being at a free throw disadvantage.
Yeah. They only shot remarkable. Six in the first game. They shot six free throws in the first game.
The Denver Nuggets. Yeah. Nikola Jokic shot six free throws in a game. How does that happen? I get it. You can complain about this all you want. And maybe it helps them. Maybe it helps them going forward here. Bigger picture here, though. The Lakers have taken two pretty good shots at them, and they can't get over the hump.
That's 10 straight.
Yeah.
The Nuggets have beaten them 10 in a row. I mean, what more is there?
You can't tell me there's not a huge factor in that, and that's not something that's going to sit with them, especially after a night like last night. Like, even when you blow a 20-point lead, even with all of that said, it's a tie game on the last possession. And they're going to get it in the hands of Jamal Murray. The Lakers had an opportunity there. And I think Anthony Davis did the best that he could. But they have to look at this like, what do we have to do to get one against this team? That has to be firmly in their minds right now.
Some teams are just too good. I mean, the bottom line is, for Sports Talk Radio, we come in and we try to take this topic and slice it in the most interesting ways possible. Let's talk about LeBron because he rates. Let's talk about the officiating comments. Let's spin it forward. Ultimately, one of the biggest takeaways for me watching them play, I love watching this Nuggets team. Yeah. I love watching this Nuggets team. How much fun are they to watch? They're never out of it. They're always composed. They've got great leadership. They've got great chemistry. You have a situation in that game where Jokic is just eating. He is eating in this game to where the Lakers say, enough of that. We got to shut him down. And the second they go to shut him down, everybody else starts getting theirs. No one is overwhelmed by the moment. See Tobias Harris in Philadelphia, constantly overwhelmed by the moment. Look at the Indiana Pacers in game one of their series against the Bucks. Every single one of them overwhelmed by the moment. It happens. that doesn't rattle the Bucks, or excuse me, the Nuggets. And the reason for that, they've been through the fire. They're a team. They've been around for a while. They've got consistency with coaching and with their roster. This is the big problem so many of these teams don't understand. They want to put an all-star game together and they expect to win immediately. See Phoenix. It doesn't work that way. You got to build it up. You got to go through the fire. You got to go through the experiences. Denver used to be in some wars with the Portland Trailblazers. You remember those seven-game series?
Absolutely.
Wars. That's what forges the championship medal. You can't just buy that. You have to go out and experience it. And what you're seeing from Denver right now, the fruits of their labor. All the wars they've been through, they've learned from that. They've gained valuable experience from that, and they're showing that to you on a night-by-night basis against the best competition in the world.
The only team that I would say in recent memory that I would put in the same class as far as the level of joy I get out of watching them play was probably the Warriors with Durant.
Yeah. The Warriors are such an awesome watch.
Yeah, it was an amazing watch. You were there front and center for it, working in San Francisco at the time. I just from a distance, getting the chance to see it, it was amazing. And watching this is right there on that part.
Yeah, and you know
it's
what?
Right there.
Big credit to the Lakers. I wrote them off for dead in this series, meaning I thought they'd just get waxed.
I thought they'd lose by 15 last night.
They've thrown two really good punches in this series. I know they're down 0-2, but they have been every bit as game as you could possibly ask for against a competitor of this nature.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. And now, a list of things from Progressive Insurance. Mm. Home, auto, boat, motorcycle, RV, ATV, Progressive protects them all. Learn more about bundling at progressive.com, Joe. Do it. It wouldn't kill you. In moments, the Lakers, not the only team complaining about the officials. That is next. Carlin versus Joe, we are just getting rolling on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
3-5 last night. Not happy, especially with that hockey result. We went under 1.5 goals in the Islanders-Hurricanes game. Second goal of the first period with 14 seconds left.
Oof.
If you're gonna put me down, just off with the head.
Yeah.
Off with the head. I don't need the whole Braveheart ending with the torture, okay?
Give me two goals in the first 5 minutes.
Off with the head. Come out firing. Yep. Let me realize, you know what, Fortinball, you're an idiot. You got it wrong. Let's move on with our life. To suck me in.
Yeah.
For 19 minutes and 44 seconds is just irresponsible on behalf of both teams. So we look to rebound. Two basketball bets tonight. Number one, we're going to play the Pacers on the money line over the Bucks. That's even money. We're also going to play the Pacers team total. We're betting Indiana to score over 110.5 points. Simple enough, this is a bet on positive regression. If you look at what the Pacers did in game one against Milwaukee, They had their worst shooting night of 83 games this year, 39% from the field. They had their sixth worst shooting night of 83 games this year from three-point range. They were awful, and they still found a way to score 94 points. I think they get it going tonight. I think they get Tyrese Halliburton going. More on him later. First two pizza monies of the night. Pacers money line over the Bucks. That's even money. And then we're going to play the Pacer team total over 110.5.
Maxie got a shoot. It gives it to Embiid. Three-pointer at the horn. No good. The Knicks win to go up 2-0.
I called timeout. The referee looked right at me, ignored me, went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started. I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it.
Everybody on the floor was trying to call a timeout, myself included, but they didn't give it to us. But, you know, forget about the timeout. There's a bunch of fouls. Yeah, like I said, that's unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly a lot of things there. A lot of things there. Ultimately, though, you know what won that game? The Knicks hustle. And that, I mean, I hate being as cliche as that, but that's what won that game. And that is a soul-crushing loss for the Philadelphia 76ers, Joe. I can't imagine how you feel as a Sixers fan today.
It's par for the course. Soul-crushing is one way to look at it, and I'm not going to refute that, but I see it as par for the course. This team can't close. They are not closers. They do not drink coffee, nor do they deserve coffee, should coffee even be on the table to be offered to them. It's kind of a joke, but at the same time, they just don't know how to close games. Jamal Murray and the Nuggets, they know how to close. Damian Lillard, he knows how to close. We can go on and on with guys, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, even though it didn't go his way last night. These are closers. The Sixers have never been closers. It's not in their DNA. You go through their entire history. They have been presented with opportunities in the Joel Embiid era, and this is not to put it on Embiid. It's on the franchise as a whole. They have been presented with opportunities to close, and they never get it done. Last night, you're up 5 with 27 seconds to go. Just get it done. Brunson hits the three. You turn the ball over. Everyone's crying because Nurse doesn't get the timeout. The key play there was off the DiVincenzo's first shot. Tobias Harris and Nick Batum don't box out well enough. Hartenstein gets the rebound. You get the rebound, you're going to win that game. But you didn't clean up the glass, and the Knicks burned you for it. Go back to last year. You're up 3-2 against the Boston Celtics in the conference semifinals. 3-2. You blow it in game 6. You blow it in game 7. The year before that, you're playing Miami in the postseason. Series tied 2-2. You go out in game 5, you get waxed by 35 points, and then you lose game 6 by 9. Year before that, game 7. At home, hosting the Atlanta Hawks. You drop that game by 7. Year before that was the bubble, swept out by Boston. You know what? There wasn't even an opening. You couldn't have possibly closed there. We'll keep it moving. Year before that, series tied 3-3 in Toronto for a pivotal game 7. Kawhi Leonard hits the three-pointer at the buzzer, sends you home. Year before that, 5-game series against the Celtics. They beat you 4-1. This entire franchise's history in the Joel Embiid, trust the process, whatever bullcrap era you want to call this, has been a series of opportunities that this franchise has been presented with, and at every single turn, they fail to close. It's who they are. It's in their DNA. There apparently is no changing it, and last night is just the latest example of an opportunity squandered because somehow, some way, they couldn't figure out how to bring down the curtain when it mattered most.
You know, the aspect of this that is particularly bothersome to me is that you know what the Knicks are about. They are going to maximize what their talent is. And they are going to do that by having ridiculous levels of effort. And the idea of not boxing out in that situation against a premier offensive rebounding team is sickening. I'm sitting there, I'm watching ESPN Bet live last night, 5 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. And Joseph, I'm watching you with Tim Bontemps. And Tim says, this team is a great offensive rebounding team. The Sixers are not a good defensive rebounding team. You cannot give them the opportunity to come inside and have a difference-making play. And it's all about effort. It's all about effort. And that's what bothered me the most about it last night. And then I'm going to listen to Joel complain. We heard a little bit of Joel. We heard a little bit of Nick Nurse. But then I hear Joel after the game telling me about what's about to happen. Mind you, the visual here as you hear this sound is Joel Embiid doing it, not looking at anybody, with his head down, looking at the floor, sitting in the locker room as he says this.
We're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
That's great. Why am I supposed to believe anything that he says when he doesn't even believe it in the way he can deliver it?
I mean, it's number one, it's better than complaining about the officiating. And number two,
which he did anyway.
Yeah, we left that out conveniently. So yeah, I only have this clip to work on. I'm sorry, I didn't hear him complaining about the officiating. And number two, I'd say, you know, they lost two, but they were both on the road. So I'm not going to discount him just yet. And I love the fact that he's gutting it out. I love the fact that he's putting up numbers. He's not the problem here. You know, you know why he's defeated? Because he looks around, he sees Tobias Harris. That's why he's defeated. He looks at that guy and says, $40 million for this guy? And spare me the Harris has been doing a great job defensively against Jalen Brunson. Okay, that's worth about $17 million a year. That's not 40. $40 million a year means you better be contributing on the offensive end as well. Every postseason we go through this. I cannot wait until that contract is off the books, which is about two games away, maybe three, when he is finally done in Philadelphia and the Sixers can go spend that money on a different bad investment. Because I'm sure it's probably not going to be a good investment, but my God, every time you need that guy to do something, he is nowhere to be found. Like, just once, when are we going to have the Tobias Harris game? Where it's like, hey, look at that. That's why they paid him $40 million. He dropped 25. Like, Deuce McBride had a big game in game one. He had a big game in game one. You got role players stepping up all over the place. $40 million shouldn't be a role player who shows up every once in a while, but it'd be nice if he showed up once.
Deuce McBride last night rips the ball away from Tyrese Maxey. Like that in a nutshell is exactly what's happening in this series so far. And just a second on Maxey, because Maxey was brilliant for a lot of the game.
And he was sick.
At the end of the game, it is bothersome that, number one, in inbounding it, he doesn't take a second before touching the ball to just kind of, all right, where are we here? He picks up the ball, and immediately there's a traffic jam in front of him. Because the count starts when he picks up the ball. He can let that go for a second while he gets everybody situated. That's what you're supposed to do in that moment. Secondly,
are you talking about the timeout?
I'm talking about after the made three by Brunson.
Okay, yeah.
As he's inbounding.
I thought that was Kyle Lowry. Isn't that Lowry?
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. That was Lowry. Right. You're right. That was Lowry, and that blows me away. But the Maxey thing, too, at the end of the floor, at the other end, as he brings the ball up the floor, I mean, that drives me insane. At first, I thought it had to do with him maybe not realizing how much time was left. Joe, I think because Hartenstein was in front of him and he had just had that ball blocked on the drive that he, you know, oh, Hartenstein? Here, Joel, because Embiid, to me, did not look like the guy that was expecting that.
No, he didn't.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, SiriusXM Channel 80. Being the face of an NFL franchise is nothing for one prospect. You'll understand what we're talking about next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, including on TuneIn.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Picks over the middle, throws James Hand to the five, and he's into the end zone, touchdown.
Obviously, I have an opinion about our quarterback, but it's pretty hard to say that he's not the best quarterback in the nation.
A lot of precise, quick decisions, the accuracy, the decision-making, ability to move in the pocket and make a quick pass.
When it comes to processing and preparation and passion for the game and the intensity that you bring, I think I bring those at a really high level.
Listen, I never played the game on the college level or the professional level, but it would strike me that in 2 years, when you throw 74 touchdowns and only 10 interceptions, you're probably pretty good.
It's a good number.
That's a very good number. That is what Bo Nix did the last 2 years at Oregon. The former Ducks and Auburn quarterback joins us right now. He is expected to be drafted pretty early, first round, second round tomorrow or Friday, and we welcome him into the show right now. Bo, it's Chris Carlin along with Joe Fortenbaugh. We appreciate a few minutes. We know you're not going to be in Detroit, but what do you have planned for draft night?
Yes, sir. I got planned right now just being with family and enjoying the moment and taking everything in. So, you know, they've done so much to get me where I am today. I just want to spend this this opportunity with them.
How are you holding up? I'm curious about that because this is such a big moment for your career. But at the same time, the nerves, the anxiety, everything that comes with it, I'm just fascinated by what these final days are like since all the meetings are pretty much done. I mean, what do you have planned for the next few days? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I feel great. You know, I did everything I could do. You know, I think I, you know, made the most of my opportunity, not only just from on the field, which is the most important part, but then, you know, throughout the whole process. So not much else I can do. So I just got to let, you know, everyone do their job and then, you know, see what happens.
That sounds like very sound advice for someone to take. Unfortunately, I would never be able to do that if I were in your position. I right now would be sweating bullets all over the place about where I'm going and nervous. So I give you a lot of credit. And we always hear the phrase,
Carlin, you and I would already be spending the draft money. But we'd already have spent that money.
Yeah, we'd be over. We would be in Detroit over at the Greektown Casino. That's where we would be. Hey, Bo, first of all, you know, we always hear the phrase about the being a coach's son. Your dad was a coach. So what has been his advice during your career and especially here the last couple of months?
Yeah, he's taught me so much, not only about the game, but just, you know, the process of life. And, you know, we've spoke a lot about, you know, different opportunities, different situations, and obviously this being one of them. But, you know, we both believe that, you know, the Lord's going to put me in the right city at the right time. And there's really nothing that I need to worry about because, like I said, I've done everything that I can. You know, I've been in situations like this before, and, you know, I'm just excited to, you know, continue to move forward and continue to get better with whatever happens. And eventually, you know, it'll all work out and everything will be okay. And that's why I'm not necessarily, you know, anxious or nervous because it's completely out of my hands and I can't make, you know, a bad decision.
Now, I will say this. Les Snead, who is the GM of the Rams, and your father were at Auburn together at the same time. We're always trying to tie a couple of things together here. So maybe the Rams, is that what we're thinking about?
Oh, I have no idea, you know, who's going to be the one to draft me. But, you know, wherever it is, I know that, you know, I'm going to hit the ground running and make the most of it.
Bo Nix, Oregon quarterback, joining Carlin versus Joe here on ESPN Radio. You know, we're sure you probably met with a lot of teams, given some people can see you going really high in the first round. Some could see you towards the middle or back end of the first round, whatever it may be. There are a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, and you put up some monster numbers. Did you have any particularly solid visits, any teams you really enjoyed meeting with?
Oh, yeah, I had great visits. You know, really every team that needed a quarterback, I had spectacular visits with them. I had, you know, great, you know, personal, relatable conversation. It was just very fun to get to know, you know, all those guys from whether they're GM or whether they're, you know, a quarterback coach or an analyst or the head coach, whoever it may be. It was fun to get to know them. Obviously, they got, you know, different paths of life and different, you know, things that have got them to where they are now. And they're making the most of their opportunity as am I.
Bo Nix is with us, the former Oregon quarterback, and of course at Auburn too before he transferred to the Pacific Northwest. So you, let me get this right. You grow up in Arkansas, you go to Auburn, you're out on the plains, and then you end up in the Pacific Northwest. Exactly how did all of that come together on that journey to get here?
Well, I was born in Arkansas, but moved before I was 1 year old, so I didn't spend much time in Arkansas. Then moved to Birmingham and then to Atlanta and then we moved down to Miami and then back to Birmingham and then to Charleston and then back to Alabama. So, with my dad being a coach, we moved around quite a bit. So I'm used to a bunch of change and becoming comfortable, with all that transition. But so this honestly isn't necessarily, different for me. It's just, I feel like this, happens quite often, me in transition. But I'm excited, and the majority of my life was spent in Alabama, and then was fortunate enough to go to Auburn and follow my dream, and then I ended up out in Oregon to where everything really took off, and now I get to claim Oregon and Eugene for the rest of my life.
One of my favorite stories in this draft is how you and Washington quarterback Michael Penix are just linked. You guys had two epic showdowns during this past regular season. One was the Pac-12 championship game. You guys were both in the conversation for the Heisman Trophy. Wildly successful careers. You were both transfers into the Pac-12 with Penix coming over from Indiana, you coming from Auburn, and now you're both heading into the draft and we're all talking about where you two are going to end up. Do you have a relationship with Michael Penix? Have you been talking to him at all throughout this?
Well, we have crossed paths several times, not only playing against each other and then, being at the Heisman ceremony together and then, Senior Bowl week and then, combine. So we've spent a lot of time, in passing, but, I have great respect for Michael, what he's done. He overcame a lot of injuries and overcame a lot that would honestly put many people, out of the sport or they'd lose confidence in their abilities. But he bounced back and he, obviously had a great year last year and then carried that over into this year. And they were really close from winning the whole thing. But I got great respect for him. I know he's going to have a sharp NFL career. He's going to, continue to work and grow and get better. And so in that way, we're very similar. We had to overcome a lot in college. And, we both, I think, made the most out of what we've been given.
Bo Nix is with us. He figures to be a high draft pick first couple of rounds of the 2024 NFL draft. Been working out with Phillip Rivers, you and Drake May. So what have you learned along the way? And also, a little rumor that maybe he might have beaten you and Drake May in a throwing competition. Did that happen?
So we had the ability to, throw with Phillip and go out to his place. He lived right there next to Mobile. So we were training with him a couple of days. He's just, filled with knowledge. He's played the sport and played the game, played in the league forever. And so now he's, able to sit back and teach all that he's learned. So we trained with him a few times. The first time we had a competition throwing out routes into the net, and he got Drake and I. And then the next time we threw fades, and then I beat him. So I want to put that on record, too.
Outstanding stuff. Hey, Bo, tell us why you're here today.
Yeah, I'm here today in Detroit getting to hang out with Old Spice. They have a new total body deodorant, delivers 24/7 freshness from pits to toes, and most importantly, all over the body. So I think, 50% of guys worry about their body odor beyond their armpits and in the locker room especially. That can be a cause of concern, but Old Spice definitely has many products, and this total body deodorant being one that they have made it gentle enough to use everywhere. So excited to partner with them, excited to be one of their guys, and grew up watching many of their commercials, and now to even be a part of one, it's pretty special. So definitely living out a dream right now, and couldn't can't thank Old Spice enough for what they've done.
Well, Bo, congratulations. A big week for you. You've earned it with a ton of hard work. Hope you get to enjoy it as much as possible with your family.
Thanks, Bo.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you all for your time.
That's Bo Nix, former Oregon quarterback. Listen, I'll say this. I do think he's being overlooked a little bit here. As far as when we talk about the quarterbacks.
Is that because you just talked to him?
Well, no, I'm talking about in general.
All right, just curious. I'm not sure if the recency bias. You just had a conversation with him. Perhaps you were persuaded.
Did I not tell you a couple of weeks ago that someone told me real deal? I told you that.
You did say that, yes.
I did say that. So I'm probably believing that we're going to see him at the end of the first round. I think that's going to happen.
What's your confidence level? Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being it is an absolute smash he's in the first round.
7.9.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Nice level of confidence there.
Wish I had it in life.
We get to pick 28, get some Old Spice on. You might be sweating a little bit. See what we did there for you, Bo Nix? You're welcome.
I often worry about from my pits to my toes, and understandably so. He followed his dad's footsteps in college, so could he be following in another Oregon quarterback's footsteps in the NFL? That is after I have this, Joe, from our friends over at Indeed. It is time, the perfect time, in fact, to gear up and connect to quality candidates. And there's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring. Indeed.com/credit.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
Hey, Jim, if he's the number one quarterback off the board, as you said he is, all right, draft him. Trade away Justin Herbert. Let's see it, big boy.
If he's so good, why don't you take your franchise quarterback, cut him right now, trade up, and draft McCarthy number one overall. Why dare you, Jim.
By the way, Happy New Year.
First, I want to just say Happy New Year to everybody.
All right. Carlin, there's a reason we played that. That was a couple weeks ago, us laughing about the idea of Harbaugh overselling his quarterback in Michigan, J.J. McCarthy. There's something that happened yesterday into this morning that I it's the reason I'm just grabbing the microphone right now, that I want to present to you, and I want you to give me your just unfiltered thoughts as soon as you hear it. Because we have not done this morning. I have not run this by you. I haven't really run it by anyone, and no one at this network's talking about it. So here goes. At the start of this entire draft process, when different props and odds and ways to bet the NFL draft were posted, there's a bet for each team centered around what position will the team draft with their first pick. So the Bears have two picks in the first round, 1 and 9. The bet would be, who are they taking with their first pick? Now, we all know that's going to be Caleb Williams, quarterback, so whatever. You work your way down. Certain teams, Tennessee, it might be offensive line, cornerback. There'll be prices for all the positions. The Chargers are drafting at 5. The Chargers using their first pick on a quarterback, as in the offensive position, quarterback, not cornerback, quarterback. It was 100-1. And that made sense because they've got Justin Herbert and they've got him on a long-term deal. Yesterday, that price went from 100-1 to 15-1.
What?
15-1 yesterday. I talked about it on SportsCenter in the middle of giving out a bunch of losers on last night's basketball and hockey games. Complete disgrace of a performance. I will probably never be invited back, neither here nor there. But I talked about it, and Nagandi started laughing at me, as he should have. Kevin Nagandi, why would they draft a quarterback? I said, look, sometimes these things happen in the market. I don't know why. It's just the market reacting. I thought it would be interesting to bring up. I wake up this morning, the Chargers to draft a quarterback from 100-1 to 15-1, now 6-1.
What?
6-1 to draft a quarterback with their first pick.
Really? And to be clear, this is not a quarterback at the number five spot. It's the Chargers to draft a quarterback.
It is the Chargers, the franchise of the Chargers, yes, to be clear. So if the Chargers trade back to eight, it's still in play. It doesn't matter where they draft. It's just whatever their first pick is in the draft. Even if they trade all the way back to the second round, who are they taking with that pick? And that position will pay out based on the odds that are assigned.
You know what? I mean, all right. My first inclination is that it's yet another smokescreen during lying season.
Sure.
Okay. If that's a little information that's been leaked out there at some point, that's what they're thinking about. Because once again, you tried to build up the most value you can in the pick to figure out what you can get and what you could still potentially draft if you move back a couple of spots. Now, having said that, if Jim Harbaugh decides to draft J.J. McCarthy as his quarterback, he is out of his mind with what he has already. Out of his mind. I don't want to hear about rookie contracts. I don't want to hear about any of that. I don't want to hear about saving money. I don't want to hear about they haven't won anything with Justin Herbert yet. It is a young franchise quarterback that is impossible to find, and you're going to trade it away for a guy that you never once asked to go win a football game? Not once. Not once. He threw the ball eight times in a game. Has Justin Herbert ever done that? Oh, my God. If Jim does that, honestly, I'd fire him on the spot. I don't care that I just hired him.
Counterpoint.
I'll pay you to go away.
Counterpoint. Nobody knows J.J. McCarthy like Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh
also played quarterback in the NFL and coached in the NFL. Yeah. I don't know if there's anyone more properly qualified to evaluate J.J. McCarthy than one James Harbaugh.
That's fair. It's still a horrible move. It's still a horrible move. Joe, you have been saying it for a while. You didn't have to sell Andrew Luck. You've been selling this guy. So what is it that you had to sell this guy?
Well, the thing is, we thought he was selling him. Like, I thought he was overselling him. But now we're in a situation where, look, the market isn't, these markets can be manipulated easier than just about anything else.
I understand.
But when I see something go from 100 to 1 to 15 to 1, and then it moves to 6 to 1. Something's going on there. That's not a bunch of guys having some beers in a fraternity house, firing off $20 bets because they're trying to get a big payday. Somebody's moving on that. It's taking place somewhere for some reason. And as a result, the bookmakers have to respect it. Now, it doesn't mean it's accurate, but something's going on here. Something is going on. There's got to be some sort of rumor circulating about the idea of the Chargers possibly drafting a quarterback. Maybe it's not even J.J. McCarthy, but I think that's the connection that we would all make here. It doesn't make any sense to you that Harbaugh comes in, absolutely loves this kid, looks at Herbert and says, look, you're solid, but you got a monster contract. We're going to move you to, say, let's say Minnesota. Minnesota gets their franchise guy. Minnesota was willing to pay Kirk Cousins. They could pay Herbert. They take on that contract. They're ready to contend. They've got Justin Jefferson. They go pay him. And now the Chargers have a rookie contract. They have to pay a ton of dead money on Herbert over the next 2 years. So that could be a big reason why this doesn't happen. But Harbaugh gets his guy. Like, you hired Harbaugh for a reason. If Harbaugh loves J.J. McCarthy and you're the Spanos family, are you not listening to this?
Listen, I get it. And you're right when you say that nobody is more qualified to evaluate him. You're right. I still say it's not the right move when you have the guy in place. And we have detailed chapter and verse how hard it is to find that guy. So now, because of what you believe, you're going to take a guy that everybody else, Joe, I'm just telling you, of all the different folks and opinions I've solicited over the last several weeks, there is not a wider ranging gap on a player than there is on J.J. McCarthy. And the best thing that I can consistently say about him, nobody thinks he's going to be a bust. Nobody thinks he's going to be Zach Wilson. I think people think that his floor is fine. Maybe he can high-end turn into one of the, you can win with this guy if you got everything else. But it's not he's going to walk in the door and be a franchise quarterback.
But what do those opinions mean if Harbaugh is saying this kid's the real deal? Why would the other opinions matter? Because some guy watched tape?
No,
Harbaugh's been around him for years.
Listen, do you think that it's possible for Jim to have seen things that he wants to see in a player as opposed to actually seeing them? Because you do have to, your eyes get a little clouded sometimes, and this would be one of those cases where that could happen.
But this is a guy that's won everywhere. He's literally won everywhere. He's had incredible success.
Has he won, or has his teams with incredible talent around him won?
All those teams were pretty lousy before he got there. Stanford was lousy before him. San Diego was lousy before him. And that's not in order. The Niners were lousy before him. Yeah. Michigan was lousy before him.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.